Well, good morning, TNC family, on this third Sunday in November, where today here, I want to talk with you from the scriptures about how you are approaching the feast. You know, the Thanksgiving feast that's almost here. And as you'll see in a minute, I'm going to talk about more than just that, but I want to start with the feasts. Feasts are and have been a significant part of every culture throughout history. Feasts were a big deal in the Judeo-Christian culture of the first century in the world of the scriptures. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, writes about feasts in several places, including to the church at Corinth, where he actually gives the church advice about feasting. He says, chapter 5, verse 8, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old bread, leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." He's engaging in metaphor here and saying, let's celebrate the festival the right way, which is with sincerity and truth. Now, if you read the text in context, it's clear he's not just talking about how to celebrate a specific upcoming time-bound feast. He's not saying, hey, if it is the feast, be sincere, tell the truth, but afterwards go back to being insincere and telling lies. No, he's saying malice, retribution, wickedness is never okay, but sincerity and truth and love is always the way. And so when Paul writes, let us keep the feast, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, that's good advice for both a specific holiday upcoming feast and for general good living. Celebrate with sincerity and truth. And what I want to do now is hone in on the word sincerity, because it's a fascinating word for Paul to use. The Greek word, and Paul wrote his letters in Greek, the common language of the time, the Greek word is elekrineia, and means that which is judged in sunshine. Now remember that which is judged in sunshine, because it gets translated sincerity, and the English word sincere, it is a good translation of the original Greek, because, stay with me, our English word sincerity comes to us from the Latin language. And in Latin, sin means without, sera means wax. Thus, sincerity means without wax. Now, what does without wax have to do with elekrineia, that which is judged in sunshine? Well, in ancient times, careless or sometimes dishonest craftsmen would use wax in the construction of marble columns or in the making of pottery as a way to cover up bad work. If a piece of pottery were cracked or if the marble was imperfect, you could melt wax and carefully wedge it between the cracks and then skillfully paint over the flaw so it couldn't be noticed by an unsuspecting customer. Or, in the case of buildings, and for example, marble pillars used to support and adorn the public buildings in Corinth, and Corinth was famous in its day for its fine pottery and its Corinthian columns on large buildings, some stone workers could use inferior marble or use good marble, but make mistakes in the production of it, in the quality of the production, and then fill in the flaws of the statues with wax instead of taking the time and the money to do it right. They would give a pillar a rough polish and then just rub into the cracks the areas of imperfection, making it look smooth on the outside, shiny on the outside. It looked good, but what you were seeing really wasn't how it was. And what you needed was to judge it in sunshine. Put that pottery under heat and light, examine that statue in the sunlight, and see if it's seen cera or not. And the best of sculptures, of course, used no wax, and in fact, they would make the promise that their work was seen cera without wax. And the Apostle Paul takes this metaphor and says that when you celebrate the feast, do it seen cera without wax. And again, he's not just talking about feasts, read it in the context, and you'll see he means that the best way to celebrate all of life is to care more about what's beneath the surface than what is on the surface, to build your life on truth and love and integrity with sincerity. And I think that to live with sincerity, TNC, means at least three things. At least three things I want to mention now. Number one, I believe living with sincerity means to be serious. Be serious. Like, have you ever just gotten tired of always being around unserious people? Folks who live with an unserious energy, the kind of unfocused, who cares about quality? Who cares about depth, about deep and true ideas? Let's just keep things on the surface level. Average work, average thinking, who cares about quality? Just add a little wax, make it look good. But someone who is sincere, they're serious. I care about my work, my endeavors, my family, my friendships. I take seriously the responsibility to live well. I get that we have a limited life. We have limited resources, and so we need to make the most of it. Seriousness says every moment matters. Now, that doesn't mean lacking a sense of humor or having a negative spirit or never doing anything spontaneously. Of course not. Serious people pursue humor and joy and fun as much as unserious people do. They just do it better, more wisely, more effectively. They approach every day, every hour with an awareness that how you live moment by moment actually matters. It's not just about the show on the outside. It's about the substance at the root. This is a point Jesus makes over and over, including at least twice, using the metaphor involving trees. The biographer Mark tells us that one day Jesus and his disciples were coming from Bethany and he's hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to it to see if he could find anything on it, any figs. But when he came to it, he found nothing except leaves, all show, no go. And he said to it, verse 14, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And then later, as they passed by, the disciples noticed that the fig tree had withered away down to its roots. That's the first story. Okay, here's the second. Later, Jesus tells this story, Luke chapter 13, verse 6. Jesus said, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, but found none. And so he said to the gardener, look, for 3 years now, I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? The gardener answered him, sir, let it alone one more year until I can dig around it and put manure on it. Then the gardener says to the owner, if it should bear fruit next year, great, well and good. But if not, then you can cut it down. And the owner agrees. And what's the point of both stories in the scriptures? It's that the solution to the well-lived life isn't to address the leaves. It's to dig around at the root. That where the problems appear are not where they need to be dealt with. That where the problem shows up is not where the problem started. And so, if you want to deal with what feels like an unfruitful life, then you need to get sincera and deal with digging and fertilizing and watering and all the small unseen things beneath the surface, which requires a serious approach to life, understanding that everything you do down to the root, everything that seems insignificant, will find its significance. No task is too dirty or small. Treat what feels like small and unseen with the same level of respect and importance as the big things connected with your hopes and your dreams on the outside. Now, TNC, sometimes I think folks wonder why they haven't been given, or why God hasn't given them, the opportunities they dream about. And I think it's at least possible that some of the time, at least from God's perspective, God must wonder why we choose to be so unserious and unprepared for all the opportunities he keeps putting in place right in front of us. And so the sincere person is serious about today, this moment, and they understand that if I practice forgiveness today in smaller moments, and then tomorrow in smaller moments, then I'll be prepared to forgive someone when the bigger forgiveness battle erupts. Sincera. And if I practice serving others today in small, interior, unseen moments, if you do the dishes today, change the coffee filter at work today, reload the copy paper today, do a little extra today, then you'll be ready for the role of leading and serving more people when the battle gets tougher. Focus on the inside. Live seen Sarah. If you take a rock today and you put it in a slingshot today and you practice aiming the rock at a large tree trunk today, and then you go to a smaller tree and a smaller tree, and then if you use the slingshot to protect some sheep against a lion or a bear, and then when the battle against the giant comes, you see, with every decision you make, no matter how small, you're generating momentum, and it's always about this moment, in this job, in this region, in this conversation, in this moment. Sincere living is not about what will show off tomorrow on the outside. It's about what you will be serious about today on the inside. I wonder sometimes how many breakthroughs never happen, how many victories are lost before the battle is even started. I wonder how much good might come our way tomorrow if we care more about today. Sincerity means to be serious about life. Number two, I believe living with sincerity means to be authentic. Because sometimes we try to be serious about who we're not. That's what the wax did in the culture. It covered up the real pottery, the real statue. But that's not what sincere living is. Sincere living without wax is, here's my authentic self. That word elekrineia is also translated elsewhere, genuine, without deceit, unmixed. And when the Christian church started, people would meet together in their homes, and Acts chapter 2, verse 46 tells us that they would meet with glad and sincere hearts, hearts without wax. Because now there was a circle of connectedness where everyone could come in, just as they were. In writing to the early community of believers, the Apostle Paul says this, Romans chapter 15, accept one another just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And how did Jesus accept people? Well, Jesus did not say, if you clean up a little bit on the outside, if you just dress better or look better, if you don't struggle, if you know what your future is like, if you got your plans for life figured out, then... Now, of course, he wants to help you with these things, but it's just that you don't have to pretend to be any better than you are to be in Jesus' circle. So how does Jesus accept you? Just the way you are. And how does that affect you? Answer, when you live in this reality, you're going to come alive. Reminds me of that musical drama, The Greatest Showman, that came out in 2018, the story of P.T. Barnum's rise to fame with the circus in America during the 1870s. I guess as you've seen it or you are familiar with it, the story of how those that society marginalizes find their sense of worth, the story of how they come to see their value, stars Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, Zendaya, others. And there were multiple hit songs from that musical movie. And one of the hit songs from the movie is the song, This Is Me. This is me. I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. It's learning to see that this is my authentic self, cracks in awe. I don't have to cover them up. I can be sincere. I can be sincere. I can be real. And I'm still accepted. I'm still glorious. I matter. And one of the jobs of the church is to let people know you can be authentic here and still be loved. You can be who you are. You don't have to put a mask on or pretend. Number one, sincerity means that we're going to be serious about life, about every moment mattering. Number two, sincerity means to be authentic and learn that I matter. So number one, every moment matters. Number two, I matter. Now number three, living with sincerity means to be love. First, be serious. Second, be authentic. And third, it means to be love. Because the Bible teaches not only that God loves, but that God is love. And in a similar way, we are called to be love. And love is greater than everything. It's greater than physical health. Because in the Bible, the strongest guy physically was a guy named Samson, and his life was a disaster. And love is greater than financial health. Because Jesus told a story about a rich guy who had his best financial year ever. More income, tore down his old barns, built up bigger ones, but he ends up dying the same year. Someone else gets all his stuff, and God calls him a fool. Rich in coin, poor in character, smooth wax on the surface, dysfunction at the core. And love is greater than career success. Because the most successful guy in Jesus' day was a guy named Herod, and he was a business mogul but people were objects at his whim to advance his goals. And he didn't improve the culture or the people around him because he didn't have love. And love is greater than knowledge. Because the smartest guy in the Bible, Solomon, he ended up depressed and sad and alone. Some of you will know that when Winston Churchill, the great Prime Minister of England, was a baby, one of the very sad things was his father and his mother had very little time for him. He was, for the most part, neglected, ignored. They didn't spend very much time with him at all. His own father, in his own words, thought that Winston was neglected and retarded. His mom was more interested in society and carried on affairs with the aristocracy. And so Winston had a nanny, Mrs. Everest. He called her Womb, W-O-O-M, the nearest he could get to saying woman. And it was Womb whose fireside Churchill was comforted by. And it was Womb whose shoulders he cried his tears on. And it was Womb whom he felt the most love from. And when Churchill died, it was 70 years after she did, after Womb died, 70 years. But when Churchill died, it was her picture that was on the table at his bedside. And it makes you wonder, because of the role Churchill played in leading England to stand up to Hitler and Nazi Germany, what the history of the West, what the world would have been like if Mrs. Everest, if Womb, did not love Winston. See, she loved him, and she saw something in him that no one else did, because there is no greater force than love, a theme that runs throughout the entire story of the scriptures. Nothing is greater than love. For God so loved the world and loved you and loves you. And when God's love enters your heart and mind, it goes deep into all the cracks and it withstands heat and light. And it's the real deal, sincera. So let us keep the feast, not with the old bread leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's pray. God, I pray now for every person listening, and I pray that these days ahead would be days of sincerity, without wax, that they would be days of seriousness where every moment matters, that they would be days of vulnerability and authenticity because we matter just the way we are. And that they would be days of love, that we would extend love because everybody matters. And now, TNC, I pray that the Lord would bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace. Amen.